Welcome to the Cowbell Fever podcast. Today we're talking with five-time Berkey champion Caitlin Gregg about the new addition to her family. She had Brooke in September and is getting ready to ski the Berkey this week. Her six-year-old daughter Heidi also joined in for part of the podcast. And while I did take the liberty of editing out some of the small people's commentary, I definitely made sure to give you the impression of how serious a podcast this is. My own small person got home during the recording and decided to stay asleep, so we didn't get to have two infants making sounds at each other over the Zoom. This was a great conversation, and not just for me as a new parent, but I think talking about bringing in skiing to the next generation and Berkey next week. So thank you to Caitlin for making the time for the chat, and thank you to Heidi and Brooke for being such good sports about me taking up an hour of your mom's time. Brooke seemed fine with it, and eventually Heidi did as well. We're sponsored again this year by Pioneer Midwest Racerack Service. As we mentioned in the podcast, having someone else prep your skis leaves you a lot of time for other tasks, whether it's taking care of your kids or taking care of yourself, or both. I'll be trusting my skis to Matt and his team at Pioneer Midwest, and you can, too, using the promo code COWBELL at checkout to save a couple of dollars and let them know that we sent you. I've also talked to Matt and his team back in episodes 27 and 43 if you want to dig into the archives and hear more about their waxing philosophy for fast skis. Remember, use the promo code COWBELL at checkout at pioneermidwest.com so they know that we sent you. And again, a reminder that the podcast does have a Patreon, which I did set up using my last name, so you have to spell it, patreon.com/offsevit, patreon.com/OFSEVIT. The deal's still on. We're if we get 10 signups, I order novelty cowbells, but I don't think we're going to get it in time for the race. But at some point, if we do get 10 signups, over whatever amount of time, I will order the cowbells, and anyone who's been a patron at some point should get one, because I think it'll be fun to have cowbells. I mean, more cowbells. It also helps cover the cost of podcasting, and it looks like it might be one day on Main Street, so let's see if I get around to getting a new microphone for the phone. One day the Patreon may get me to get more professional podcast gear, but for now, I'll be running around Hayward with the phone and talking to anyone who'll talk.
It's just going to record me and probably some of Brooke here. Sorry about that, but...
Hey! Caitlin Gregg is joining us. This is, you skied at NMU back in the early 2000s, and I was at McAllister, and I think we overlapped by a couple of years, and 23, 24 years now, 21, 22, so it's a long time that we've sort of been in the same orbit, and then you went off and, you know, won the Berkey five times, and been in the Olympics, and third at the World Championships, and along the way has had a couple of kids, and so I just wanted to sit down and chat about what it's like, you know, being a what advanced pregnancy age, having kids. How old is Brooke now?
So Brooke is 4 months, and my 6-year-old just got home. Heidi, she just turned six 2 days ago, so a new 6-year-old.
Wow.
She just arrived. So we'll see here in a little bit. Yeah, Heidi, do you want to come on over? Come on over.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have a lot of color today.
Yeah, she's not gonna be able to hear you at the moment.
Special guest.
This is Ari. Come sit down. Heidi, do you want to be on the podcast with me?
What podcast?
This is Ari's podcast.
It's all about the Berkey.
You want to help me?
It's all about the Berkey. Do you like the Berkey?
Yeah.
Yeah? What's your favorite thing to do at the Berkey?
The M&Ms.
The M&Ms at the Berkey.
No wrong answers there.
All right, so he was just asking me about being a mom of two Heidi. So he's just giving the details.
Heidi, how do you like being a big sister?
I like it.
Yeah.
Do you want to do this or do you want to go play?
Okay.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for coming to the podcast. Being 43, getting pregnant, was that like in the cards, in the plans, or how did that whole process go for you?
Yeah, so we first got pregnant with Heidi and I was 37, so I had her at 38, which is also considered a geriatric pregnancy, anything over 35. And, you know, when I was 35, you mentioned the World Championship medal. I mean, I was still very much racing. That was in 2015. And so, you know, from there, I raced another couple of years through 2018. And so it was pretty much after that Olympic cycle that, you know, we decided, okay, shifting gears, getting jobs, starting new adventures, continuing to ski race. But one of those goals was definitely to have kids. And so we were really lucky with Heidi. We were able to get pregnant, and I'd actually been training for a marathon. I really wanted to run New York City Marathon, and so I had to qualify with the time, and so I chose Grandma's Marathon. And then during a training cycle, I was feeling really good and going through the motions, and soon realized, oh, I'm pregnant, and I thought, you know, I don't want my first marathon, even grandma's marathon, to be during my first pregnancy at 37 years old. I just thought I'd do a lot of things, but that wasn't really one that I wanted to take on. So I switched to the half marathon and managed to qualify.
Yep.
I just didn't end up running in New York City. Still hoping to do that someday.
I think Brian ran it in 2019.
He did.
Yeah,
he did.
That
exactly.
Was the year that I ran it, Keegan ran it, Liz ran it, and Ida started
yeah,
it.
Yeah, everybody. Yep. I know. And it would have been great. I would have wished I could have run it. So that's still on my horizon at some point. So then fast forward, and we thought, okay, we want to try for another. And so the first time, we were really lucky. And the second time, we tried to get pregnant. Our doctor said, you're 41 years old. We're only going to give you, you know, a few months to try, and then we're immediately going to go towards IVF. Mm-hmm. And so we thought, oh, okay, well, last time it wasn't a problem, so
yeah.
So whatever, sounds good. So sure enough, a few months go by, and the doctors are like, you have to go this direction. There's no other choice. So we'd spent a couple years with the IVF route, and that's expensive.
Yep.
It's, you know, it's stressful. There's a lot of things going on.
Oh, we have friends who are doing that, and it sounds...
Yeah, we had friends too who had gone through it, and you know, we're really open about it and saying like we were told to go this route, so we're gonna try this. I was coaching a lot at the time. I was coaching Team Berkey, which is like more than a full time job, and it's like traveling, and there's a lot of just things going on all the time, all year round. And you know, one of the biggest things that I thought was interesting about the IVF experience was that there was a lot of time where they said, you know, don't train.
They don't just, be active.
Yeah, don't be active. And I thought, okay, I guess I'll avoid being active. And they also do a lot of testing. And through their testing, they found there was no real reason why it wasn't working. And so, you know, we did that for a couple of years and it wasn't working. And they really couldn't figure it out. And they couldn't, you know, they couldn't figure out why. And so, you know, afterwards, I told Brian, I said, you know, I think we should just go back to what worked the first time. And,
hello?
So I went back and I told Brian, I said, you know, I think we should just do what I was doing the first time. And so I said, I'm going to start training and I'm going to jump in a few races. And at this point I was 43 and, you know, the doctors kind of like, they didn't really roll their eyes, but they were like, okay, you know, you do whatever. You're 43. You have like the slightest of chances. We're going to give you 1% chance. But there was nothing else that was really, you know, besides the advanced maternal age, you know, they said there's some different numbers they look at like called AMH, which is sort of like your ovarian reserve. And all of those looked good and hormones looked good and everything looked good. And so, you know, I said, maybe, I don't know, my body just likes to be training and racing. And sure enough, within 3 months we got pregnant naturally. So we felt like super lucky. Of course I was like racing, and I pretty cute. I was in an event, and I was like feeling pretty good, but partway through I just got really tired, and Brian was helping me out with feeds, and he had waxed my skis, and he kind of looked at me and was like, what happened out there? And I said, you know, I think something's up. And he was like, well, I don't know. And I said, yeah, I think I know my body pretty well. And I think I'm pregnant. And so sure enough, that was pretty funny that it, you know, it's one of those things that I think when you're really dialed in and you really kind of know your body, it says a lot from those years of exercising and racing. So, so we feel really fortunate. Like you said, I mean, it was one of those things where we had a lot of friends going through IVF or who had to use IVF to have kids. And I guess it's kind of an interesting opportunity to kind of understand what they went through and, you know, to see kind of both sides of the picture. And, such a crazy emotional roller coaster, no matter, you know, when you're having kids or how it, you know, how it works. It's like the greatest of things, but it's also something that it can be super stressful.
Yeah. And so you went through all of that and wound up with what I can tell is a very cute young daughter. So she's 4 months old. And I mean, I've been seeing some results come in. You must have been able to stay pretty active through that pregnancy and were able to jump right back in afterwards. How did that go?
With Heidi, I was able to stay really active. Like I said, I was training for the marathon. And so I came from that and kind of backed off my training knowing, you know, I ran the half marathon and then knew. Yeah, I was really able... He can hear you, yeah. That's why you have to be quiet. like telling a 6-year-old to be quiet for a podcast is pretty much the opposite of what is going to happen. So I mean, you have to, I'm sorry, this is going to take longer than your other podcast.
Oh, no, this is fine.
What has just become, come over here, Heidi. She's taken advantage of this. She's had this candy stash since Halloween. She senses, she knows that I'm attached to this phone. She found her candy stash. Look at her face. Her tongue is black. She's like, Mom, cannot. She just basically, I don't know if you saw me. I was like, no, no. And she just opened up the candy and stuck it in her mouth. She knows. So on that note, what I'll say, maybe you can splice this some however you want. What Heidi has learned is that Mom and Dad have been very distracted with Brooke. And there's been a lot of like, I can get away with things. So I was really active with Heidi. And it was kind of a... really nice because she had
sorry. We'll get you through a sentence one of these days.
With Heidi, I got to train quite a bit. She was born in the winter, and so it actually allowed me to ski quite a bit while I was pregnant, which was really wonderful. Yep. With Brooke, I tried to stay active. I was able to stay active and actually race last year in quite a few races, so all of the Midwest marathons. We're actually shortened because of the horrible snow season we had, but I was actually pretty grateful for that. So I got to race quite a few races. So like Ski to She, Sealy Hills, City of Lakes. Unfortunately, Mora was canceled. And then my doctor said right before Berkey, you know, I actually had had a blood clot with Heidi. And so I was on blood thinners and she said, no more racing. You're done. And I actually felt like, that was
And given some of the downhills in that, and since it was a 53K race, you probably didn't miss that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it was a really fun experience, but...
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. With Brooke, you know, it was a great start. And then I actually, she was born pretty much right after the hottest time of the summer. And I found like the Midwest summers, they're so hot and humid. And I was just not able to do the same. I didn't feel comfortable just being outside in that kind of heat, so I didn't get to do the same amount of training and volume, but I did do quite a bit of strength, and so that was actually really fun. Is I had a good time.
In addition to just carrying some extra weight around.
I made a kind of a goal with my other friends, my mom friends, that I wanted to, you know, I wanted kind of a goal, and I didn't really want to make like a mileage goal or like a, I don't know, a race goal or anything like that while I was pregnant.
Yeah.
So I made it a strength goal. And so the biggest thing was that I wanted to be able to do a pull-up for every month that I was pregnant. So I set that goal to do 9 pull-ups at 9 months pregnant, which was pretty ambitious. And I got to 7 pull-ups at nine and a half months pregnant. So that was pretty good. I was pretty psyched with that. So that was kind of my fun little side goal for myself while I was doing it. And I had some great, you know, one thing I'll say is that they've learned a lot with pregnancy and training. And so there's a lot of information out there and a lot of really great coaches and people to work with. And so that was really fun for me, just to kind of utilize everyone I could to help with, you know, how to keep your pelvic floor strong and how to decrease, you know, pressure when doing exercises and training. And how to, you know, they found so much now that exercising and being active while pregnant is really, really helpful and important for mom, for baby, and for good delivery and then good postpartum. So that was super fun.
Now you know, winter came again. There's a little more snow this year. Hopefully you've been jumping back in a number of races and doing pretty well in the local circuit.
Yeah, thanks. I definitely feel a little crunched for time after delivering. So I delivered Brooke in September, and I was, you know, pretty active, but so, you know, I took about 2 weeks pretty chill before she was born, and then 6 weeks after she was born completely off. And so jumping in, you know, that really shortened the timeline, and, we were here in the Midwest for a couple weeks before we headed out to Silver Star. So it was pretty awesome just to be able to go to Silver Star and get back on snow. I think roller skiing was a little bit intimidating after not roller skiing all summer. So it was kind of nice to be on snow again. And that felt pretty nice and gradual. And, you know, running is always sort of the thing that is hardest to come back to after delivering. I mean, running and some strength movements and so forth, but skiing is pretty, pretty nice and pretty easy on the body in a lot of ways, and actually really strengthening too for pelvic floor and core strength. So I felt really lucky to be able to get in as much skiing as we did. And then Brian and I entered some races, and it was definitely a little bit of a shock to the system to do that. But I think it was pretty fun just to kind of start from the bottom and see how things went. And so fast forward to these last couple weeks in racing, and I definitely feel like now a little over 4 months postpartum, feeling good, feeling strong, having a good time. So
see yourself as like a citizen racer or a professional racer or somewhere in between? Where would you put yourself right now?
I mean, I definitely would say I'm a retired professional racer or a former professional racer. I probably trained, I just track everything on Strava, even the pregnancy walks that, although I go for a long time, I was not going very fast. I mean, felt, 20, 30 minute mile pace. Yep. But I thought it was all kind of interesting and fascinating to see, and, the days of strength or biking and so forth, and trying to do some, I definitely did some hill repeats at Highland. But my hours now, 2 years ago, we renovated our house in Washington, and I trained a little bit over 200 hours that year, and then this year it's been about 250 is what my kind of Strava log told me. So definitely down from the years of professional racing, but I will say that I still like getting into the races and taking it seriously and going for it. I think that I'm definitely in I definitely benefit from the years of copious amounts of training behind me that have kind of laid a foundation that I can get away a little bit with this. But I will say that, 44, I noticed in just the Loppet Wit race last weekend that I'm not only in the older end now for some of, the super tours or other kind of domestic short races that we enter, but also I noticed that there's maybe one other athlete in the top 25 who was older than me. That's Craig Cardinal. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's a Vakva skier, but he was 45 and I was 44, and amongst the sea of 20-somethings, and I thought, oh my gosh, wow. This is. So there's a lot of factors kind of going against what used to be a very focused, very singular focused kind of endeavor. Now we get, pulled in the parent directions, pulled in the work directions, and also in the spouse directions when there's two of us who want to keep racing, and we oftentimes want to race the same days, and so there's always a little bit of give and take there too.
There's only so many hours a day to train when you also have, kids who need to be fed and bathed and have all of those needs.
Yep.
And finding that time and negotiating which the time is not the easiest thing in the world.
Exactly. And we get pretty creative. I think one of our favorite things to do is to kind of, our training, there's definitely days where we're very focused and we have, specific intervals that we're doing or a specific session that we're doing, but there's also a lot of days where Brian especially is pulling a kid runner, which is our chariot of choice. Mm-hmm. He's done a ton of runs with them, or with the kid runner with Heidi, and then he's done a ton of skis with her. Even to the extent now I've been running a lot of my runs, I've been with a double stroller with both girls, and you sort of learn how to like incorporate training with the family and how to be creative with it. We go to the gym and we can bring the girls. We try to ski as much as possible. Brian was doing double duty. He was pulling Heidi. Now we have another system. It's kind of like a towy system. Looks like a water ski strap that we hook Heidi to. And Heidi says it's the best thing ever. And so we can, in the whole world. Yeah, and so we are able to bring the girls out for some pretty long skis. Brian would have Brooke on his chest, and he'd be pulling Heidi. And then finally, he would want to go my pace, which was really nice, too. So, and so that's also been another piece of the equation is, how do you just say, hey, we don't have time to do it all and do it all separately, but just how do we combine all of these things? So a lot of workouts are bringing Heidi to school. We'll run with both girls, drop her off at school or at the bus. Those have been big workouts for us, or big frequency workouts for us. And so we just try to have fun with it all.
Yeah, I'm looking through your Strava, and there are a lot of a lot of creative runs and, you know, things that go wrong and sort of making do with what you have, it seems to be. I've had a bit of that too. We've been taking Leon, who's now he's like 16 pounds, so it's getting a lot harder, but we've been taking him in the front carrier.
Yep.
And I'll go with no pole skiing, and I'm actually just about the same speed as my wife with poles.
Yep.
With my 16-pound weighted vest. It's a great workout. I do that for half an hour, and I come in, and my legs are real tired.
Oh, absolutely. It's unbelievable how hard it is. And it really does bring another element of fun. I mean, one, you're psyched because you just, you know, got out and did a workout yourself. But two, you realize, oh, my gosh, this is great. Like, you know, your spouse or your partner can go with you, and suddenly yep. maybe it does, like, level the speed factor.
And your kid's asleep on your chest yes. while you're skiing. Like, these are two things I really like.
Yes. Yes, we will say we've run into, and this might be in the future, we've done some big skis. Heidi, you know, we got Heidi into the kid runner as soon as she was strong. Mm-hmm. You know, she was born in February, so by the that next winter she was...
Sure.
8 or 9 months already, so she was a little bit stronger. We haven't, you know, Brooke's a little young still for a chariot, but we definitely have gone on some long skis where we were out there for 4 hours, especially when she was like maybe 2, 3, and you know, nice days, and she just slept and slept and slept, and then we really kind of kicked ourselves later because we got home and we were exhausted, and Heidi was like, hey, I'm ready to play. So there's a lot of you know, live and learn kind of things, but I don't know if we would have done anything, you know, we still do it the same way, so that's just how it goes. You just get you understand. We basically have adopted the idea of we want to do everything we did when we were professional skiers, except now we're just like 10,000 times more tired. Yeah. Yeah, and that's, I mean, it is, it's kind of a fun way, and then you find, you know, source out other like-minded parents. It's kind of neat to kind of teach each other tricks too. Yeah. You know, everyone's kind of got their own little way to do things. And so we've had a lot of fun kind of partnering with other parents in similar boats and kind of having, you know, once you get two kids out there, you know, Brian's done a lot of the double toeies, and it kind of just helps reinforce again that the kids want to be doing it and they want to be having, you know, they want to be out skiing and spending hours in, you know, in the polk or hours on the toey or just skiing for fun and doing it with their family. Yeah. So yeah, it's kind of a win-win all around.
As new parents, we look at the people and say, we want to aspire to that. We want to aspire to that. When I see someone who has a 1-year-old and is climbing mountains or skiing races, you know, I want to figure out how to do that myself. And I think we've done a pretty good job, but it's great to hear from people who are just, you know, also doing it.
Don't forget, like, you know, it is absolutely true. Like, we always have the photos or the videos or the shots of like the glory moments when we're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, this is great. There is so many moments of, you know, tears and tears and groans and moans and such. It's important to remember that. We always think it's actually kind of great when someone comes up behind us and, you know, maybe both kids are screaming and, you know, and we actually had a parent come up to us once who was like, oh my gosh, you guys are out here and, you know, just putting in so much time with your kids and skiing. And, you know, I just told her, I said, you know, the truth is we don't have any dinner plans yet. You know, our house is a disaster. We're going to go home. But there's nothing we would rather be doing than being out here skiing. Cleaning the house, you know, worrying about those details. Nobody looks back and says, oh, that was really sweet. We were all organized on top of it. But everybody is like, you know what was sweet? And we just said, let's just go out and ski for fun now and worry about all that later.
Yeah, I'm looking behind, and on my Zoom, you can see up to my organized shelves, but you can't see me. Just piles of stuff behind the laundry and, you know, especially just... this kind of season when you're just creating you and your child are creating a load of laundry like every 2 days. It's
absolutely, yeah.
It's just sort of constant motion.
Yeah, and you got to just say, you know what? Skiing is always a better option. Just go ski.
Yeah. I mean, which has been, I would say, both of our lives for, what, 20, 25 years. But we want to just continue to be that and also instill that in the next generation.
Yep, exactly. I mean, teaching your kids that, honestly, being outside, doing fun adventures, nothing more important than that when it comes to, like, yeah, is the laundry folded? Are the dishes done? Yeah, those are little things that you can take care of on a rainy day.
So we're 2.5, we're 2 weeks out from the Berkey now. How do you feel going into, you know, the big race in the Midwest?
Yeah, I'm super excited. Again, I, you know, I missed the Berkey last year, but I, you know, obviously do not mind that. I thought that was a very good decision, and I had a lot of fun watching the Berkey. I don't get to watch the Berkey very much. I watched it in 2019 when Heidi was a few weeks old and cheered for Brian, and then I watched it last year, and so that's always a blast as well as participating. So this year, I'm feeling good. You know, it was a goal of mine to be able to come back into race, and I feel like I'm in a really good spot because I really don't have a ton of pressure. I mean, I've been racing well, but I am still pretty new postpartum, and so it's kind of still, you know, it could go any way for us on any given day or night. We have two kids who could have any kind of sickness at any moment and or be up at all hours of the night. I think in 2 years ago in the Berkey, unfortunately, Heidi got up in the middle of the night and had a pretty high fever, and I was up with her for quite a while and definitely felt a little fatigued that morning and was really worried about her, but she ended up, of course, as kids do, rallying and being totally fine. And I had a great race, and so you just kind of learn to roll with it and say, hey, whatever comes. And so I think likewise for this year, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's a little bit of cherry on top. I don't have, you know, specific expectations, I don't think, from anyone. And I think that my goal is just to go out there and give it my best on whatever that day and previous night shows. So I'm excited.
One thing you should expect is fast skis from Pioneer Midwest.
Yeah. So we partnered with Pioneer Midwest this year. Anyone who knows Brian knows that his buddy is Matt Leapsch, and the two of them have been pretty inseparable over the last decade and a half. So Matt, again, owns Pioneer, does all the ski picking for Pioneer. We switched brands this year to Salomon specifically because Matt has access to fantastic skis and his process of selecting the skis is second to none. And so we really lucked out. We actually ended up going in December and working with Matt and the guys and gals at his shop and, you know, getting fit and custom heated boots right there, and then getting fit for skis right there. And you know, the thing that I think has been the best and really shows you know what Matt has access to is we really got skis just off the shelf in mid-December from him, and they've been great so far for us. We've been really psyched, both classic and skate. It's been an awesome experience, and then they've been at all of the races for us waxing, and that's been huge. I mean, that alone with kids is a big shift too. We maintain our skis during the week, but their opportunity to help wax when we need a little bit more time on the late night side of things been huge. So
Matt's sponsored the podcast for a couple of years now for the race wax service, and it's been having, you know, traveling from afar to come to the Berkey. We have a guest here. Look, come on, is he asleep? Well, we now have two children on two ends of a Zoom call. She's skiing the Prince Hokan.
Right on.
But he's only just 3 months old.
So cute.
Hi, bud. Aww. Yeah.
In terms of the Berkey, I think just being flexible. Like, there's always going to be more Berkeys, right? Like, it's one of those things now.
How many is this for you this year?
This is going to be my 11th Berkey, I believe. 11th or 12th. And I think that you have to be flexible, and you have to have, you know, you also do have to be organized. I mean, I kind of played off, but we definitely, there's just a lot of things that you have to have ready and kind of prepare for, all kinds of scenarios. And then generally, that means that if one thing happens, you can just roll with it, and it's not that big a blip. And also the fact that we're parents now, I don't know, it definitely feels like we have some, like, you know, all of a sudden, I mean, it's all about perspective, right? It's like, oh, the little things aren't as big of a deal because you've just been through so many bigger things. And so, you know, you can deal with so much on race morning that you used to be maybe a little bit of a, oh no, what are we ever going to do? And now you're like, oh, that's like no big deal.
Oh, there's baby vomit on my bib. Great. Well, I'm going.
Exactly. I mean, it's just the little things that you kind of laugh about from before. I think going forward, I don't know. I mean, I guess the more parents we can get out and the more, you know, people we can get excited to be training with their kids, like you said before, the more ideas and creative solutions we'll find just to kind of keep it up and share that with our families. And so hopefully the more skiers we produce along the way, right?
The more skiers. And then also too, you know, just to go out and do it with someone that you know, when you see a parent out there, whether in a chalet and there's someone else with their kid or you're out on the trail, it's really fun as a new parent to see that. But it's also, you know, I think we stand on the shoulders of giants of people who have done it, normalized it, and shown that yes, it can be done. Makes it easier for folks like me who are looking at it and say, like, okay, well, I'm going to ski this Berkey and I'm going to ski the next one, and we're going to keep hauling the kids there and we're going to figure it out as we go on.
Yep, exactly. Well said. I love it.
Thank you so much for the time, and thanks to Heidi and Brooke for being team players and getting this done. I'll probably try to cut out some of the kid stuff in it, but we'll leave some in because that's, you know, see you out there. And
yeah, have a good travel to the Berkey, and hope your training's going well. Hope you guys have enough snow anyway. Are you at?
So
do you have any?
We've had not that much snow, but it's been like the best snowmaking year here in 10 years. The best part is that, like, we have our Tuesday night race. We have 100 people show up.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So the old guys are getting older, and now I'm, like, winning the old guys, except we had a bunch of recent Williams grads and Hannah Halverson all go out, and I try to stay on that pack, and it's like, I just don't have the legs. I'm just not going to, you know, they're 23. You know, I'm just not going to do
it. That's like, yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because that was, like, one of the first things I noticed last weekend, too, in the City of Lakes, is I was like, man, sometimes I try to, like, stay on that next, or, like, second or third pack of guys.
Yeah.
Last weekend I was like, I'm good. I'm just gonna go. I don't need to do that yet. Yep. Like, and then I looked at the results after and I was like, yeah, that's why.
23, 24, 31, 32.
It's amazing what you can do at this point. I mean, you definitely, I don't know how your wife feels, but right around the three to four month mark, I started to feel really good. And I was like, oh, like you kind of just no sleep, random training time, and you're just like, oh, I feel pretty good. It's pretty weird, but
yeah,
I'll go, like you said, I'll scroll with it.
Well, thanks, Caitlin. That was really fun. I'm so glad that we made the time to talk, and you have two really cute kids, and I'm sure they'll be cheering on Berkey Day. Speaking of which, word from Berkeyland is that the trail is shaping up really quite well. So I'm pretty excited about race week, and they should be getting another couple of inches of snow today on Friday. We'll try to have a weather and staff check-in before the race, but really no guarantees with that. Thanks again to Pioneer Midwest Racewax Service. Remember, code COWBELT when checking out at pioneermidwest.com. And thanks to anyone who signed up at patreon.com/offsevet. We need more cowbell to reach full cowbell fever, but we got some cowbells for you coming up in the outro. Safe travels to everyone making their way up to Berkeyland. And if you're already there, I hope you're staying warm. We'll see you out on the trails.